I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
It's touche time here on Monday night on the download. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio. We got a big segment to get to tonight. Why don't we get right to
touché.
It? First 100 days, okay. Dave Lundy.
Thank God it's over. First 100 days has been marked by craziness and decisiveness, flip-flopping. It's been an astonishing array of flips to match the flops.
Chris Roebling, first 100 days.
The most historic in the history of the presidency. He's the first guy in the presidency to have appointed a decisive vote on the Supreme Court during his first 100 days. Turned out to be a tremendous appointment. And also the way the Democrats mishandled it, they put themselves into a terrible position for subsequent Supreme Court nominations. I think that Dave and his fellow liberals will be ruining the first 100 days of this administration for the next 30 to 35 years, because we're going to be hearing, that's how long we'll be hearing from Judge Gorsuch.
All right, so here's the deal. Gorsuch. I'm gonna go get a drink. You guys, have at it.
No, I mean, look, I think that I don't disagree with some, I don't know what exactly Dave was trying to say, but I know that there were some really weird things that have happened. And like today, I mean, even today, he says, do y'all like Nikki Haley, Ambassador Haley? Because if you don't like her, she could be replaced. What in the world? Yeah. What in the entire history of the universe would lead any person in his position to say that? And yet he did. So he does goofy, dumb things. But you know what? I think so far it's working out for him. And I think he is he's well on his way to a successful first term.
Wow.
That's one interpretation. Meanwhile, back here on planet Earth, I think we can look at something that Chris likes so much. Donald Trump is on pace to set a record of the most executive orders since World War II, which when Obama did it, I seem to recall you kept calling him the most lawless administration
no,
in history.
No, it's not that executive orders in and of themselves are lawless. In fact, and I said that
it's Obama's
then,
executive
I said
orders.
That then, you wouldn't listen and you won't now, so it's still a waste of breath on my part. But I do want to say, you loved executive orders when it was Barack Obama with his pen and his phone, and now it's Trump.
Wait, Barack Obama did executive orders on his phone? Is that like an app?
No, remember, that was Barack Obama saying, right. I've got a pen and I've got a phone, I'm going to do executive orders. But I'll tell you something, I don't think we're going to see health care this week. I think what we're going to see this week is that the government is not going to shut down. I think that we saw that today at the briefing when they lowered the temperature over the wall slash barrier. But I'll tell
slash
you this,
blimp.
What we are going to see here is, I think Congress is kind of, I think Paul Ryan's getting in gear, and I think we're going to see
Let me ask you about that, because, you know, what I read today, a lot of pieces about the 100 days, and what the takeaway I get is, you know, like, because I do agree with Dave, there has been a lot of sort of bumbling and indecisiveness, but at the end of the stuff that I've read, I've read a president that's learning on the job, that is getting better at it, that he's understanding. I mean, are we going to see, as some of these budget showdown items and issues pop up and move forward, are we going to see a different Donald Trump and a different Trump administration than we saw in the first 100 days?
I think you're going to see, Trump 2.0 or 3.7 or something. Look, I think that he's got to have a better second 100 days from a legislative perspective than he had first 100, because first 100 days he accomplished nothing in terms of his key legislative agenda. I think that the disaster.
That's not exactly true. But
the disaster.
It's
well,
largely,
okay, fine. You're
going to
give me some,
true.
Some.
It's largely true.
Thank you. Okay. So we can ignore the meaningless bills that, hey, he signed things. There were bills and he signed them. But I think that, you know, when you look at the big initiatives, healthcare, the wall, infrastructure. Anybody remember infrastructure? I mean, this is what a lot of people are focusing on, is that if Trump wanted to reach across the aisle, and do something big with Democrats. It was there for the taking. He could have put Democrats on their heels had he proposed an infrastructure program. Even a bad one would have made it look like, hey, he's reaching out to Democrats. And he didn't do that for reasons that nobody can really explain. Instead, we got the we're doing health care, we're not doing health care. And so in a lot of his obsessions that he's had are still there. And yes, he's learning on the job. I'm not sure whether he's learned the right lessons yet.
Let's get this straight. We were doing health care and we failed at health care. And I think that's a very important lesson of this first 100 days. And I think that's a very important failure for Paul Ryan, for the Freedom Caucus, for President Trump to his extent, Vice President Pence, who's supposed to be the great link to Capitol Hill. I mean, that was a very rough shakedown cruise. And I am very disappointed in Ryan as a Republican. And I still think, you know, ideologically, he's a terrific guy. But I just don't see, I have not seen in these 100 days an ability to move stuff, which Newt Gingrich, whatever one might think of Newt Gingrich, and I think a lot of Newt, but when Newt was Speaker in the spring of 1995, let me tell you, he executed that contract with America in about 130 days. I mean, he went through those 10 major bills, boom, 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 boom. And what I understand happened in the case of Trump and Ryan, remember Ryan got to a point where he said, after the Access Hollywood tape or something, I'm not going to campaign with him. Mm-hmm. And he disinvited Trump from Wisconsin, the Brown County Beef Festival or something. And so there was, you know, ups and downs in that relationship. Towards the end of the election, when the Trump people thought they were losing and they were going to lose and et cetera, et cetera, they threw together that speech that took place down in Kentucky or wherever it was, where he gave the whole list of what I'm going to do in the first 100. None of that went through Ryan. None of that went through Ryan. They were doing it just to get the base out. And luckily they did get the base out and they won. And the great news about that is the Washington Post poll today illustrates that today Trump would beat Hillary 43-40. That was in the Washington Post today.
Okay, so let's talk about what I'm interested in from the Democratic side. Is it, as you heard Chris say, that you know they kind of stumbled on the Supreme Court confirmation?
No, they didn't stumble. They did a tremendous job. Oh, the Democrats.
Democrats.
Stumbled.
I'm talking Democrats. Sorry.
Yeah. They were idiots, as usual.
Let me ask you one little problem. So what we saw
in
Kansas and we saw in Georgia, Democrats talking about a resurgence. They're more organized than ever. We've seen the Democrats sort of get a win right now in the budget showdown because there can't be a budget and these priorities pass without the Democrats. Is there a shining or a silver lining for Democrats with the first 100 days of the Trump administration?
Oh, I think that the first 100 days have been great for Democratic activism, great for Democratic enthusiasm. I think that cutting the 33-point Kansas margin down to 7 was definitely a win for the Democrats. But you can't keep having these Pyrrhic victories. You actually have to win seats. We'll see what happens in Georgia. But look, the bottom line is Democrats, I think, finally learned the lessons of the Tea Party, which is that, hey, it's great to have marches and rallies, but if it doesn't translate to electoral success, it's kind of a meaningless gesture.
Well, wait, now, was that a backhanded endorsement of the Tea Party? Because I am really loving that at this point.
No, it was front-handed and groping
of their
incentive.
Determining the course of history for the next 30 years on the Supreme Court.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio. Touche. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do a little foreign policy. Sound good? Stay with
Great.
Us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
All right, Touche. Back here on Download 720 touché. WGN. Touché. Let's talk foreign policy. North Korea continues to be a priority for the Trump administration. The carrier is now off doing training missions with the Japanese fleet.
It's a priority for South Korea. It's a priority for
China.
Japan.
Today it's a priority call for that China. The White House did not say much about, but China state media says that essentially the call was to ask the U.S. for restraint in the conversation with North Korea, because I think that the Chinese may be onto something. They know that this guy's a little bit of a loose cannon, and you're doing drills off the coast of North Korea might agitate this crazy dictator.
There's some nice irony in China asking the U.S. for restraint, since the U.S. tends to ask everybody else for restraint. Look, this is a potential disaster, humanitarian disaster waiting to happen. There's just no time to react, at least in the U.S. If there was something that was happening, you got an ocean, you got distance. When you're talking about Korea, Seoul, 40 miles, I mean, artillery shells, they're there in a minute. They're done.
There's
it's
nothing
over.
You can do. Right.
You killed 10 million people. Boom. Done.
And even if the aircraft carrier wants...
They have nuclear weapons that fit onto artillery shells.
Right.
No, that's correct. But
that's
we know
what
they have massive conventional weapons.
Look, this is a very serious problem. And I think that I now believe with this whole concatenation of events, including not just the Trump-Xi entente over this issue, and then subsequent action by the Chinese, then subsequent action by us, then Trump engaging with the Security Council ambassadors mm-hmm. today at the White House, and the call to the senators to get down to the White House for a security briefing. I think what we're seeing here is these are expressions of the seriousness of the territory we're occupying, which is what Dave just said. But I think they also are indicative of the speed with which the situation can deteriorate. And I think everything that is being done between the United States, China, Korea, ROK, the Republic of Korea, which is South Korea, and Japan, is fully coordinated. And I think even now Russia, we heard today Russia has started to take steps because it has a border with North Korea just south of Vladivostok.
So let me just ask the layman question. Where do you stand? I mean, do you invade the country? Do
no.
you try to
you,
topple
you do
the regime? Do you do all peaceful negotiation?
We are increasing sanctions on individuals and elements. And by increasing sanctions on individuals, and we saw that today, just by the way, rare appearance of the Treasury Secretary in front of the White House press corps, at which time he took the opportunity to say, we are sanctioning 281 individuals from Syria who are involved in construction of lethal gases. But what you're sanctioning individuals and elements from North Korea, and you are doing that in concert with China to bring about moderation of the regime or possibly, preferably, change.
There was a lot said on the campaign trail about America first. There was a lot said on the campaign trail from the Trump, administration, but from Trump himself, talking about he's going to do things differently. He's going to fix these things. What we've seen so far has been very conventional, very Republican sort of response to the way that the military actions overseas. Is that messing with his base? Is there any talk of, hey, this is not what we signed up for, to essentially have military exercises in the South Pacific?
All you need to know is today Paul Wolfowitz said Trump was right on foreign policy. Paul Wolfowitz is the archetype of the neocon. Chris might like Wolfie, but many of us blame Wolfie for leading us into Iraq and a lot of other misadventures. But look, I think that on this Korea issue, I think there's frankly a lot of bipartisan agreement. You needed to be more muscular. I think clearly what we were doing was not working. The question is, what is our objective? Because if our objective is to get North Korea to give up the nuclear weapons, that ain't happening. If our objective is to stop their development of technology to miniaturize those weapons, right, it's probably also not happening. So I don't know what our end game is, and that's what's a little disconcerting.
Well, I think that our end game, our preferable outcome is a unified democratic Korea. That's strategically, that's where we're headed. I don't know we're going to get there. We're not going to get there next week, next month, next year.
And
next
Kim Jong-un knows that, which is why he's justifiably afraid. And he saw what happened to Gaddafi, who gave up his nukes and, wound up dead.
Because of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama adventurism in Libya with leading from behind. So what you're going to find out here is that the Chinese, I think, are finally seriously engaged. And I will say, Trump is you're saying he's conventional. Well, sometimes there are only so many tools in the toolbox. He is dealing with 24 years, 8, 8, and 8, 24 years of failed Korea policy. Clinton, Obama, and Bush. Okay, they all tried jabber, 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 and this is what we've gotten. And we are close to a point at which Vancouver and Seattle and Portland are at stake.
But what can you do differently? I guess that's my question. I mean, when you say 24 years of jabber.
No, we have not had this kind of engagement from China ever. I mean, you're looking at unprecedented coordination on a Northeastern Asia security issue between the United States and China. So, I mean, I think already just with that, you're talking about brand new diplomatic territory.
100 days when it comes to foreign policy. We saw the Syrian airstrikes. We saw the biggest bomb ever dropped. We saw what's happening in North Korea. What grade would you give the Trump administration, Donald Trump himself, as the commander in chief in the first 100 days?
Well, I think that because he flip-flopped on every major foreign policy assertion he had made during the campaign, to your point from earlier about America First, I think that there's great confusion as to what he's going to do, how far he's going to go, who's actually in charge. You know, you've got this weird stuff happening where Rex Tillerson has decided that public diplomacy is he has no role in public diplomacy. So that therefore the press doesn't go with him.
So
on
you're giving him
missions.
A.
Well, I give him. I actually am going to be relatively nice. I'm going to give him a C minus.
C minus.
I'm in the B plus category, and I will tell you, this is a guy. This is a guy who is, I believe. It's not a question of flip-flops. This is a question of what can you actually do? Politics is the art of the possible. Diplomacy is even more so the art of the possible. And when he takes action against the Taliban in eastern Afghanistan, when he took action against Syria, and he had a chorus of approval from European allies, folks who had been pretty quiet for 8 years, you saw a new American assertiveness.
He didn't take action against Afghanistan. It was a part of a continuation of U.S. military policy. He did not make the decision. The generals made the decision. And I don't understand why you're trying to give him credit.
If you want to talk about flip-flops, Obama said, I'm going into Afghanistan. That's the right war. He gets himself sworn in. He forgets about Afghanistan.
All right. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy will have to finish it up. He's walking out the door. Thoughtful, insightful as always. Thanks, guys. See you next Monday.
See you next week.